It's Lainey! Let's get ready to nap! Okay, no, I'm going to need your ears open because we're all talking, we're all very excited, everybody's ready, and I do mean the royal we, so that it's me, myself, the entire court, which is all of my opinions on everything. So, this week we've got a bunch to go over. I am a grown woman in the prime of her youth with a lot of questions about personal hygiene. I'm starting a canine business. Dogs and dongs are very important to the future of American cinema and industry. This week's episode is brought to you by business. Business. Because it's business. And finally, we're going to go over the motherfucking question. You guys asked it, and I'm answering it. I always want to talk to you about what's going on. So let's get ready to sit down and hear me. Yes! Hello and welcome to It's Lainey, the show where I talk, you listen, and we laugh together until our pants fall off of our butts. This week, I am here to talk to you about growing up, looking good, and general nonsense, including but not limited to stickers, glitter, turbs, bath time, chicken nuggets, happy birthday songs, bear hugs, butt plugs, and area rugs. So let's do that shit, friend, buddy, pal, amigo. Let's do it. Okay. What's up? What's happening? Here we are. I'm 28 years old. It's October or something in 2000. And we are ready to rumble. This is a year. I feel good. No questions about that. Nobody ask. And today I am going to talk about hitting your stride, baby. Have you guys ever walked around? Well, have you done a stride? Have you strode? Is that the past tense? Strode. I've strode. Have you strode? I strode. I stride. I's tried everywhere I go. All right, so I'm just going to, okay, you understand what I'm, no, you don't, I haven't said anything. All right, here we go. I'm going to say something now. Listen, you walk around the world, you do the shit you do, you look the way you look, you act the way you act, and sometimes people come up to you and they say, ew, and you have to say, I'm getting ice cream. That's, or you could say, hey, that's mean. And then you could get on the bus. So those are the two options. You can get ice cream or you can get on the bus. A Ventra card, you know, you can get, they last a long time here in Chicago now at this point. So I would recommend maybe that because ice cream melts pretty quickly. So have a friend deliver that kind of as an errand. You know what? I would like to create a delivery service where you create, ooh, what about a grief delivery service where you deliver like a puppy and a hug and some ice cream and maybe not a hug because you don't want to interact with, ooh, and you don't have to interact with the human, the puppy just comes in and then you can send it back out. So you don't have to see the person's judgmental eyes. You just see a puppy in a funny outfit and you get to touch it. And then if it pees, it's not your problem. It'll go outside and you're like, bye. And then you're like, but I'm also mourning the loss of my very important grandmother. You know, whatever the case may be. I just, why don't we have that? The puppy carries in a basket of macaroni and cheese draped around its neck. Also, it's not wimpy. It's not like white people macaroni and cheese. You know, it's like good macaroni and cheese, the kind where you put a bunch of cheese in it. And well, I mean, maybe in the Midwest, that's good. Okay, nobody, oh boy. All right, the dog. The eyes of the dog, so big. They look like you could see the ocean of your future inside of the dog's eyes, right? It's very fluffy, very soft. It's not reached maturity yet. It has not gone through puberty, so that dog is soft as a goose down. And it's wearing a cowboy hat or a bandana, or if... if your grandmother was killed in a car accident, it is wearing a policeman's hat. That's not good. Don't worry about it. I'll work out the kinks. This is an app. It's a startup. You know, we've got ping pong tables. We've got kegs. We have an open office plan. We've got, you know, all the benefits that a young person needs. So essentially, alcoholism and anger. That's what I'm going to offer at my startup. I'm going to let people drink their problems away while I offer them little to nothing in return for their dogged labor. Okay, so what am I going to call this? I'm going to call it, insert pun here, I'm going to think of one. It's going to be puppy sad. What? Puppy eyes, puppy love. It could be puppy love, no, because then people would remember love and what if their spouse died? That'd be sad. So, oh God, dog, canine rescue. Except they rescue you from your puddles of tears. No, okay, I'm going to think about it. I'll call it, hey, it's an emergency. I need to talk to a dog. Doug's Dog Hugs? Well, okay. I mean, I like that you're understanding the concept, Aaron, that it is the dogs giving the hugs, because I feel that you have fully grasped what I computed as well, and we probably agree on this. Thank you for nodding your head heavily, which is that you don't want, if you're real sad, you don't want anybody coming into your house. It's like, get out. I'm wearing my comfy socks. Don't look at me. Why are you here? I'm very irritable. You look disgusting. You smell like outside and happiness. So I really don't want you near me. And also, who wears that kind of plaid? Joe, who are you? What are you doing here? Why are you at my door? But a dog comes in. You're like, come on in. The couch is for us. So the dog comes in, is wearing a basket of macaroni and cheese around its neck. It's got a little bandana on or a cowboy hat. That's what I'm going to go with, little bandana or cowboy hat. I might think through it later. I'm not going to put cowboy boots on it, though, because that would be rude. The bandana is good because the dog is not too bothered by it. So it doesn't, the dog's quality of life doesn't suffer, but my quality of life improves. And that's really the thing about pet clothes, is that animal outfits, the thing about them is that it's really a balance between your quality of life improving and the animals decreasing. I almost said deproving. Oh, deproving. Man, who am I? Okay, so, but that's the thing about cat jackets or like dog vests. It's, you know, it brings you a lot of joy, but if the animal starts puking on itself, then maybe take it off. But if it's in the middle and it's just scratching a little bit weird, you're like, I have to wear shit like that every day. So maybe you can buck up and do it too, Rover. And that's my cat's name, Rover. I'm hitting my stride. As you can hear, I just created a business. I'm the CFO, and I know about money. One plus one, that's a number. That's multiples now. Get it? Do you get what I'm saying? We're going to the Olympics with my business. It's going to be so good. It's going to be on top. And the dogs, when they get old, they can't work anymore. So they get dog retirement because it's better than America. So good, happy dog nation, happy dog. And then you get to live in the country of dogs, which is called Pupsylvania. And it's a country, not a state. I know the parallelism doesn't make sense, but I'm going with it. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so today I have decided to talk about hitting your stride because even though I am going through a great deal of turmoil in my life, a great deal of introspection, a great deal of self-evaluation, I am also fucking nailing it. So let's talk about that, baby. Hitting your stride. Who is my role model for hitting your stride? Liz Lemon. Have you ever seen 30 Rock? Do you understand what she's doing? She's stealing babies. She's eating night cheese. She's buying wedding dresses that she doesn't need. She is falling apart. She's got Cheeto dust on her clothes, but she writes the funniest comedy and she's bad with men. So that is relatable. And then eventually she figures it out and she has her career and her family. Wow, that's incredible. That is the dream. So that's also important within this shout out, and this is something that Liz Lemon, the character obviously played by Tina Fey, has, and something that I have. It's that it factor. It is that late bloomer swag, late bloomer. I had my first kiss when I was 21. I was so good at it. And so I was a pretty late bloomer. I'm still blooming, honestly. I have not bloomed. I'm blooming. It's happening. And this is a good time of life to bloom because, I don't know, maybe the guys have more money now. I'm not sure. No, that's not a good, no, scratch that. This is a good time of life to bloom because I'm having fun. Who cares? So on hitting your stride, I've just consolidated my thoughts on this. I'm going to mention the first thing that these are going to be tips, realizations, understanding about hitting your stride. Just imagine 13 going on 30. You're Jennifer Garner. You wake up one day, you have boobs, you're rocking it. You've got an amazing dress. You accidentally wear a nightgown to work and everybody's like, girl, you hot as hell. So it doesn't even matter. You're wearing heels. You have money. You can buy pizza. Your best friend still is alive. That is a good life. Wake up every day. You're Jennifer Garner. You know what you're doing. You're a child in a woman's body. Go fuck it out, girlfriend. Don't, that's weird, but you understand what I'm saying. Take control of your life. I guess maybe that's resonant to me because I am, I've been told child, I like pudding and playing games. I like playing games. I don't understand why that's not okay. Can we not play? Ugh. Patty cake is fine. Okay. If you're having fun, just have fun. I enjoy having fun. I want to finger paint. That's fine. So think 13 going on 30. We're ready. We're here. You've grown into who you thought you were going to be. Well, no, you haven't. You've grown. And now is your chance to choose who you're going to be. That's how I feel. Okay, so I'm 28. Ready? I got to this age, and I'm not dead. So now I have to decide how cool I'm going to be. Okay, so the first thing, wear deodorant because, wow, Aaron, some people do not like it. Not you. No, not you. Oh my goodness. I don't know if I'm allowed to say. Okay. So I'm seeing somebody new. I mentioned at the end of the day. Oh, I smell. And he was like, what? Didn't you put on deodorant? And I was like, no. And he was like, he lost his fucking mind. And he got so confused. It was the most upset I've ever seen this person. I can be like, oh, I have random panic attacks all the time. And also I wake up in the middle of the night and I have to weave baskets with my toes. And that's fine. But the second I don't put on deodorant, apparently I am an alien from another planet. So I did not realize this is why you got to hang out with all kinds of people, because I have been inside of a bubble that I have not been recognizing for a while. And obviously it's a pretty liberal bubble. So I assume things. I assume that people aren't going to freak out if you forget to put your deodorant on or if you don't wear it on purpose, because I may have mentioned that. I was like, oh, sometimes I don't wear it. Sometimes I'm just chilling at the house painting. Like, I just got out of the shower. I'm going to go paint for the evening. Like, why do I need deodorant? So, and I think that's acceptable. But this guy barfed on himself, and now I can't find him. He drowned in the barf. That was really surprising to me. He was like, I have to describe basic hygiene to you. And I was like, nah, I just chill. Is that, would you, you nodded. I think it's fine to sometimes not wear deodorant. Aaron, agree or disagree? It's not fine. It's not fine for you. That makes sense. But like if your wife, maybe I shouldn't talk about that. I don't know. If you had a partner, a gal, and she didn't wear deodorant sometimes, like she forgot, would you be like, oh, whatever? He says yes. Okay, I win. Great. I'm going to write this down. Hope the stenographer is taking the minutes, because I am going to take this as proof to other people in my life. So just so you know, hippies out there, liberal arts people, if you are not wearing deodorant, apparently you are an abhorrent monster. So get on that right away, because we are in trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. I did not realize, I revealed a lot of very unflattering things about myself before anything shook that person. And it was the deodorant. And it's like, it's night. You put on deodorant in the morning. No, he was across the room. He didn't even smell me. Exactly. Aaron, thank you. You get it. Yeah. He asked, did you smell bad? And they noticed. And the answer is no. They were all the way across the room. I mentioned it. And that's when it came up. Aaron says, oh, I would mention it if they smelled bad. Of course. You could be like, you smell weird. And they'd be like, that makes sense. I didn't put on deodorant. But if I'm like, but if you're like, you didn't put on deodorant, you lose your mind, but you haven't even smelled my armpits. What is that? Who cares? I'm chilling. I'm a natural woman with a natural body and a natural sense for how to run the country. I should be president. Thank you so much. Vote for me. My name is Pudding Pop. Cake girl. And I'm going to win the Senate for being the queen of files on the platform of hugs. Pudding Pop Cake Girl. It's very American. Okay, I have a tiara. It's not a big deal. So, needless to say, I am hitting my stride, obviously. listen, I am not... Sometimes I forget to wear deodorant because of my severe ADHD, which makes me very charming, quirky, and a manic pixie dream girl. Not a big deal. And I'm still getting banged. So I don't think you need to wear deodorant. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. Of course, you have to deal with the results of this situation. If you smell, people might be like, ugh, you smell. And they might be like, but that's fine. I know that. My boobs look good. I think they're next to my armpits. You're going to notice them and you're going to get distracted and it'll be fine. So I'm not worried about it and you shouldn't be either, Tom. Okay, so further thoughts on hitting your stride. I have realized, you know what? I'm not cool, but I think it's okay for me to... So on hitting my stride, I'm 28. I'm about to get into the 28 to 35. I'm about to be blowing it up. I'm about to be all over the city. I'm going to wear the trench coats I see in the movies when Sandra Bullock works at an architecture firm before she marries some Canadian man. What movie was that? Who cares? 2 weeks notice. Yes. Nailed it. So I'm going to have their secret money or whatever. I'm about to be killing it. I am in the prime of my life. So I'm not cool. And I've always contended that being cool is to some extent a measure of your disinterest in things, and people who are interested and geeking out about things are always more interesting. So I take pride in that a little bit, and obviously it wasn't a good route for me to try to go. To try to be cool? No. I'm awesome, but I'm not cool. I'm fun, but I'm not cool. I can tell you that. But it doesn't hurt to try to be a little bit cool, which I would not have liked if I told me that a couple months ago. But here's what I'll say. Maybe just don't mention the deodorant. Like, things like that. Just don't mention it, and then you're cool because people aren't confused. So I guess what I'm saying is not so much, it's not like, so here's the thing. Just do everything you want to do, and then just don't mention some of it to people, and then just rock out. Okay, excellent. So I think I'm leading the nation now. On hitting your stride. Here's the thing. People who are at my age, people who are at a different age, whatever age you are, listen, you're hot now. You're hot. Just deal with it. You can spend your whole life going, ooh, I don't like this part of my body. Ooh, I'm fat. Ooh, I need to change this. Who cares? Just, you're hot. You're hot now. I've told you, you know. Here's a trick I like to do. If you look in the mirror and it's a mirror that's kind of slimming and you see yourself and you go, oh, I know this mirror isn't accurate. Then you think to yourself, that is how other people see me because of my brain not liking my body. So whenever I see myself in a skinny mirror, I just assume, oh, that's how other people look at me and I'm nailing it. And it's true. And I'm right. So find a skinny mirror, believe in it, use not a skinny mirror. It doesn't matter. Just you do you. It's awesome. I wear a lot of overalls. It's been working for me. I don't know how, but you don't really need a business plan for doing it. So you're hot now. Listen, I'm telling myself, I'm coming out. I'm hot now. This is happening. I'm hot now. This is going on. I'm doing it. That's me. I can wear whatever I want. And you just have to bathe also. People really like that. And don't mention it. If you haven't bathed, they really don't like that. Also, do not mention mucous membranes. People hate that shit. And that's not something that I've mentioned. It's just something people have mentioned to me and I don't care for it. Okay. If you're a lady hitting your stride, just know, you are hot now, 100%. Never let anybody question that. If they question it, burn them up with your fiery passion. Don't let them speak to you. Also, bathe and also wear whatever you want. If you want to wear a hat, wear a hat. If you want to wear shoes, wear shoes. If you want to wear an elbow ring, that's not a thing, do it. I don't care. If it's a cape, not blackface. Don't wear that. But if you, nothing inappropriate in that sense, or offensive. Don't wear anything offensive. But if you want to wear a sequin cape, go wear your goddamn sequin cape. Who the fuck is going to stop you? If that's how you feel the most confident, then that's how you should walk into the goddamn room. Why can only drag queens do that? I'm going to make an entrance and I'm walking in and I'm showing up and I'm saying, hey, yeah, I do have only one boob out, but it does make you wonder, doesn't it? What's up with that girl? So that's good. So, you know, I'm hitting my stride. I'm happy about it. Here's another tip for you. Yelling is okay. If you're a lady hitting your stride, that is the hallmark of excellence. That means that you know what you want and you're angry about it. So that means that you're doing something right, wrong. Who cares? Just who cares? I yell too much. So I get self-conscious about it a lot because I'm sure it puts people off, but also excellent filter for getting people to not speak to me. So I'm just saying, six of one, half a dozen of another. If you don't want to talk to your neighbor, Todd, don't talk to him. Yell about him. You know, just tell him his socks smell and he needs to go home. You know, I should stop yelling so much. No. No. Oh, Aaron shook his head. No, that is the basis upon which this show has thrived. So I will continue yelling, but should I try to hurt people's feelings less? No, I think I should. I think Aaron's doing that for fun. He's playing a funny trick on other people. Okay, well, whatever. We'll dive into it later because right now I'm busy having fun with myself. And yes, that did sound sexual. Thank you so much. This is a very sensual show. Thank you for listening to Love Line, where we talk about doing it with any of the stuff you've got. Here, let me try it again. Ready? Okay, this is a love show now, Aaron. Are you ready? All right, Aaron's ready. What voice do they use? Okay, I'm going to try it. Ooh, okay, here we go. Hello, we have caller number 2 on the line. Please greet us.
Hi, my boyfriend, I'm so sad, and I can't handle it because he went to and he moved me into his job, and I don't know, but I'm constipated, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and my mom says, you're not coming back.
Well, that sounds like quite an issue. I've got something to soothe your soul. Let's play the Macarena. Take it away, Aaron. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I know that's not the Macarena, but listen, we're falling in love here. You gotta meet me halfway. That's a fun segment. I'm going to make people in love. Ready? Okay, here. Ooh, here. I'll do me. I'll talk to me about me. Ready? Okay, so I'm Lainey right now. I'm the first one. I'm me. Okay, so... Okay, wait, no. I'm going to be the lady. Okay, now I'm the lady. Ready? You can't see me. Of course you're ready. Hello, why don't you tell... Nope, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong one. Here we go. Hello, welcome to loving... What should I call it? I'm going to call it love-a-lub-a-dub-dub. Nope, that's not good. I'm going to call it... You don't need to wince at me, Aaron. Oh my gosh. I saw it. I watch people's faces for the moment that they judge me because I know that it's coming because of my self-consciousness. So listen, that's why you have to yell in public so people think that you're self-confident and then you create a hard exterior shell of driving people away. But if they get into the middle, it's like a Cadbury egg. It just looks like a cake jizzed everywhere. You know what I mean? That's a Cadbury egg, a cake jizzed inside of a chocolate turd. And happy Easter, motherfuckers. I'm God. Okay, if I had to ask a question about love, it would be, how long does it last? How long does love last? Wow, incredible question from one of our most dedicated listeners. Thank you so much for being here. You are incredibly stunning, beautiful, and the most interesting person we've ever had here. In addition to myself, actually, I would rank you probably about 5 notches above me, and I did win the Miss America contest in 2013. So this is a big month for you. Here's what I will say in terms of love. Love lasts forever. Love lasts a lifetime. Love lasts as long as you let it last, unless he meets your cousin girlfriend. Do not let him meet Becky. She's a hoe, and that bitch will steal your man. Thank you so much. All right. This has been Love Stuff. Goodbye forever. I hate you, Becky. Love music. Love, 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 love music. Okay, now isolate that so I can have sex to it, Aaron. I'm going to make my own sex soundtrack. It's going to be like, oompa, loompa, doompa, dee, dee. I'm going to walk in covered in orange, just waddling like, you want some candy, baby? God, oh man, I missed me. Oh man. Okay. So, in terms of hitting your stride, listen, all love aside, just remember you're a badass. You're every TV character that you've ever seen that succeeded. You are the adult version of yourself, and that is an adventure in itself. So, when people want to get money from you, just tell them, hey, this is a cartoon and you can leave me alone because I hate you. Goodbye. Yep. Rant over. This week's episode is brought to you by Business. Do you love to flip, file, copy, and paste? Do you love the smell of freshly opened whiteout? Do you treasure the sweet, familiar feeling of slipping on a pair of narrow loafers that shine like the sun and pinch like Aunt Emma when she sees a baby's cheek? If you're anything like me, the only thing that gets you out of bed in the morning is the thought of standing in the center of an open plan office, sipping a cup of watery coffee and thinking to yourself, ah, this is as good as it gets for me. I practically live for the part of the day when my boss sends out a company-wide email canceling our 15-minute break because it means I have more time to work and less time to make pesky decisions about time management and office prioritization and whether I'm going to sign the divorce papers. The point is business is always there for you. When your mom yells at you, send some strongly worded emails. When you get dumped, come in and make the sale of a lifetime. When you get laid off, steal all of the staplers out of the auxiliary cabinet. You can even get them for free. Turn those puppies for a profit. And we're back in business, baby. So remember, when you're struggling with a big decision or a stressful life event, open your desktop, grab some Post-its, and pull up a rolly chair because we have the solution for you. You are American, and you are lucky because in America, we work until we die. Okay, well, thank you to my sponsor, which is business. I love business. Business for me. Okay, now we are going to transition into the next part. Yep. I have recently been told that I sing when I am uncomfortable and perhaps when I don't know what I'm doing. So if you would like to hear a little Easter egg, go back through every episode I've ever made, listen to every time I sing, and that is every time I'm uncomfortable. So, you know, it'll be about 12 hours of airtime and you will get to understand my psyche as well as my physical form. So I'll feel so close to you. I'll feel very one with you. You know what I'm saying? Like if I needed to find love, it could be maybe with you. So I don't know if you're into that kind of thing, it's not a big deal. I'm a Pisces, so just keep that in mind. I don't know exactly what it means, but it's a water sign. So it's something kind of like turbulent, but it's also like, what are you, Aaron? What sign are you? Leo? Ooh, that sounds like a bad one, but a cool lion. You got a cool, what do you call it? You got a cool mascot, but you're a dick. Is that what it is when you're a Leo? I think so. Okay. All right. Well, it's time for the motherfucking question. Here we go. This question is fantastic. Here's the question for the week. Have you ever experienced writer's block? If so, how did you overcome it? The answer to this question is yes and no, because in my opinion, writer's block is just a term for not getting your work done. I don't know if that's a good way to put it, but I've been thinking a lot about the creative process lately. And I think the first step in the creative process is fear and then shitting yourself and then falling asleep on your grandma's couch. So that's what I like to do just right before I'm going to write a joke or, you know, start a new project. Or if I'm going to maybe design a flyer, I like to just really hit a doobie, put my feet up and drink alcohol. Like Mad Men. It's like Mad Men. I'm not Pam. Is Pam her name? I think it is. I'm not her. I'm Don Draper. I'm mean or something. I only watched the first season. I don't know what I'm talking about. They smoked a bunch. They were having they were pregnant. It was a whole thing. Okay, so the creative process. The first part is fear, and then it's confusion, and then self-loathing. Maybe that's just for me, but that's how I feel. Honestly, though, I think the creative process has a lot to do with how your organization is, because for me, I just have to rein myself in. Otherwise, I'm not going to get it done. Writer's block, in my understanding, kind of refers to not having inspiration, not knowing the correct words to put to paper, not having an idea for what direction you're going to go next. And it is bullshit, because the whole point of being a writer, the whole point of being an artist, is that you keep trying. That's the only thing that differentiates you from being an artist or somebody who makes stuff sometimes. It's just that you keep going. So it doesn't really matter how good you are at it. It doesn't matter if you don't have any ideas. It doesn't matter if you don't know what they're going to turn into. And it doesn't matter if you're writing shit that you're not going to use later. That's not the point. The point is that you're supposed to create and craft for yourself a routine that allows you to kind of live in the art, but allows you to have the habit of writing. And let me be the first to say that I have not done that for the past few years of my life. And it's something that's important to me. And it's something that is hard to do. It's really hard to do, to schedule yourself, to give yourself time, to give yourself exercises, to give yourself whatever you need, whatever the tools of organization that you need are to create what you want to create. And I make a lot of shit, but now that I'm an adult, I think I could make it better. I think I could make it a rocket that's a robot that has sex with me. Yeah, I'm going to call it Iron Dong. It's like Iron Man, but a penis. Okay, yay, second business. It comes with the puppy sadness business. And we share an office so that if you are sad because you had a breakup, you can get the puppy and you can also get the robot dong. So, and he's, I was going to say he's handsome, but he's definitely not handsome. He doesn't have a man's face. It's just a picture. It's just a bunch of pictures of like a man holding a baby, like a really strong man. Have you ever, Aaron, you know, when a strong, muscular man holds a tiny, sweet baby, how do you feel when that happens in two words?
Totally normal.
Totally normal? All right. That's not how I feel. I feel goosh. Every lady feels that way. Not every lady, but all of them that are me. 100% of ladies agree. Goosh to firemen holding toddlers. Oh, man, I love a good toddler. They got fat ass heads. Okay. They wobble all over the place. It's like me. I fall. Okay. So I've been knocking a lot of shit over. The older I get, the more I break. And it's just like, you know what? Maybe that's a secret talent. Maybe I'm the Tasmanian devil, you know? Like I'm a freak in the streets and normal in the sheets. And I broke a lot of your dishes. Woo! No, I don't do that. I don't eat off dishes. So what I usually do, I would say to me what that means, because everybody's going to have a different definition. Everybody's going to have a different way of handling it. Everybody's going to regard it differently. But to me, what that means is that you are not practicing your art. You are not in the routine of creating it. You are not happy with the way that you're making it, and you don't feel like you're making progress. And that's probably the biggest thing about the idea of having writer's block, is that you feel like you're not making progress. The issue that I have with it is that it makes it sound like there is some ethereal, otherworldly quality that is blocking your connection to the divine that will somehow swoop in, Deus Ex Machina, and just fix the joke that you're writing about fart nuggets. And that's not the way that it works. The way that it works is this: you just work real hard and then you throw away 90% of what you do. That's how it is. That's what art is. That's what everything is. You make it and for a long time, and then you throw away a bunch of it and you go, oh fuck, how did this get good? And then you realize, because I threw away 90% of it. And then people are like, oh, I'd love to see your like stuff that you didn't use. Oh, you have so much stuff you didn't use. And then they see it and they're like, oh, yeah, no, I don't want to date you. And no, I'm kidding. Nobody has ever said that to me. But I think it's just a long series. It's a tiring, exhausting, long series of habits that lead to a product. Because if you don't write words down, you can't say you have writer's block. If you say, you know, I have writer's block. I've been staring at a blank page for an hour. Well, you didn't write any words down, so there was no way for your writing to come out. You just got to start writing stream of consciousness. Do whatever you need to do. If you need to tell yourself, I have to write 500 words. If you need to tell yourself, I have to write for 30 minutes. If you need to tell yourself, I'm going to write, every day in the month or every 2 days a week. Whatever you need to tell yourself, that's the progress that you're making. And if you get words on the page, that's a victory. If you're able to follow a more specific plan, you're probably advanced in the way that you view yourself, the way that you control your actions, the way that you set up yourself for success in terms of your art. But if you are not typing the first letter, that's not writer's block, that's fear. So that's my opinion on it. If so, how did you overcome it? Well, number one, I haven't. I haven't. Being somebody who creates things is difficult because you have to figure out where you fit in the world. You have to figure out what value the things have to you and the things have to other people. And it's difficult, especially I think being a performer, because the way that I present myself as a performer is different than the way that I present myself as a lover or as a friend. So it's something that affects the way that I live my life, you know, not just the routine, but also the way that I see myself, the way that I construct my own personality and present it to others, and the way that I, you know, keep people from asking me questions about my heart feelings. If you make a joke, usually they'll avoid you. Smart. So how did you overcome it? I mean, like I mentioned, definitely doing free writing has been a huge deal for me, because a lot of the time when I'm writing jokes, I'll write a bunch of stuff that doesn't really matter. But, in that process, I'll remember one thing that I wanted to come back to, or I'll find a topic that I know that I really need to address, or I'll remember something that I wrote before and go out and pull that. So just the process of writing itself puts your mind into a critical state that's able to better synthesize the information that you have in order to create the product that you want. That being said, of course, whenever I create something, it's there, and I was like, oh, I don't know what that is. Where did that come from? I made it out of my hands? I doubt it. Is that how men feel when they jizz? They're like, what is this? How did I do this? Where did it come from? I make this all the time.
Oh, I know where it comes from.
You know where it comes from? Oh, yeah. I don't remember what I thought, but I for sure thought there was stuff wrong with my vagina. I was like, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. But I also didn't know how it was supposed to be. And I had read books that said it was supposed to be a weird way. So it just was like, hey, they're all different. And I was like, okay, well, I think mine's wrong, but you said they're all different. So I guess I was overthinking even when I was a child, you know? So metacognition out the wazoo, just really thinking about my puss and worrying about my options. You know what I'm talking about, ladies. Our eggs are drying up. Who knows? In vitro is very difficult. You get a lot of bruises. You got to give yourself shots. Adoption, who's going to qualify for that? I barely have a credit score. So all I'm saying is I'm going to have a baby. And that's my fun announcement. I'm having a baby, and it's going to be a dog, and the dog is going to be my employee, and it's going to be at my business called Bark Woofster. And it's for grief counseling. It's for, no, I was going to say woof counseling. That doesn't make any sense. Man, I'm going to get there. God damn it. God damn it. I wish I had a pithy thing, but I don't, because that's not how I work. What I like to do is give you an image. I'm going to paint with my words. Maybe I have writer's block about the dog name. So now what I should do is I should write down 10 different potential ones and then look at them and see if one will work and then just keep thinking about it. So the dog name of my business dog is business dog. My business dog is Trevor. And he's the, oh, he's my right hand man. He has neither hands nor man parts, but anything is possible. There we go. That's what I'm going to call it. I know. But you know what? Okay, I'm saying I know because Aaron made a face that said, oh, God, for real? Really? Well, for now, the name I'm calling it Anything is Possible because, listen, I'm putting pen to paper and I'm going to get something out there, even if it kills me or others because it's a pun. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the motherfucking question. Yes! We have solved the questions of the universe, and now we shall travel into deep space until we die in a wormhole, a cacophony of flowers and fun. It is heaven. I am still God. All right. Well, that was the motherfucking question. Thanks for sending one in. And you guys, if I haven't heard from you, send me a motherfucking question. I would love to hear from you. Ask me about anything. Ask me about dogs, relationships, butts, baskets, nuggets, bobby pins, whatever you want. You can find me on all social media at Lainey Lennertz on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of them at Lainey Lennertz. Also, if you want to check out a live show, I've got a bunch of exciting stuff coming up. This Saturday, the 27th of October, I have the Big Sexy Show, 11 p.m. at the Comedy Bar. Sunday, the 28th, I am featuring for Michael Ian Black at Comedy on State in, I know, it's exciting, yes, in Madison. The shows are at 7 and 9 o'clock on Sunday, so check that out. Thursday the 15th in November, I'll be at the Love Below Comedy Show, and I am having more developments with my show coming up, so I'm working with a Chicago venue to bring you a new live show right in Chicago coming up, so stay tuned for more details about that. But until I talk to you again, I hope that you get a lot of fiber in your diet. I hope that you get your left ear pierced, you go bowling with your friends, and you do cocaine once. All right, that's your bucket list. Go out there and do it before next week. I'll talk to you soon. Eat Fiber One. Goodbye.